This Reedley Planning Commission regular meeting on this day, Thursday, June 7, 2018, is now in session. Commissioner Hudson, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Be glad to. Please stand. Ready? Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated.
Can we have the roll call, please?
Commissioner Barcelos?
Here.
Commissioner Bissett?
Here.
Commissioner Custodio?
Here.
Commissioner Hudson?
Here.
Chair Perez?
Here.
Chairman, excuse me for interrupting, but before we move on to the public comment period, we did have one item that was not on the agenda that we did actually want to get addressed today. Earlier in the year, we had done the nominations for chair and vice chair. And the commissioner that was actually nominated for vice chair at that time was not currently at that meeting. And so as we've gone back and we've taken a look, the actual nomination for that was never officially accepted for that. Thank goodness we've had a chair in place for every single meeting, so we haven't had to depend on anything for the vice chair in that role. In speaking with Commissioner Barcelos, who was nominated as that, she has a lot of other commitments right now that would make the vice chair position something that she doesn't feel would be appropriate for her to take on at this time. And as such is not desiring to accept that nomination. So we would like to ask the Planning Commission to go through the nomination for vice chair again and to select someone. Thank goodness we have all five of us here tonight, so I think that a nomination that were to be made for anyone, they could either accept or deny as they feel appropriate, and then we can get a vice chair officially put in place.
Very good. Our commissioner's protocol has been that we nominate the next person that is in line of chain of command in terms of seniority. Do you wish to follow that same protocol, or do you want to make a nomination other than that?
I'm good either way.
Yeah, whatever you decide.
Yeah, whatever's best for the commission.
Ron?
I certainly would be glad to take that on. Brian, you interested?
If I need to serve in that role, I would be more than happy to. But if you're more interested, Ron, then
you want to serve in that role.
I'm happy to serve in that role.
Okay.
But I just want to make sure Brian's okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Then I'll hope to hear a nomination from somebody.
Yeah.
Motion.
I'll do a motion to nominate Mr. Ron Hudson as vice chair.
I'll second.
Okay. Call, please.
Commissioner Custodio?
Yes.
Commissioner Bissett?
Yes.
Commissioner Barcelos?
Yes.
Chair Perez?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. And Commissioner Hudson, how do you vote?
I guess I would abstain, I guess.
That's a yes vote.
There we go.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Okay. Public comment provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the Planning Commission on items of interest to the public within the commission's jurisdiction and which is not already in the agenda this evening. It is a policy of the commission not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the community development director's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are not on agenda this evening, members of the public will provide an opportunity to address the commission as each item is brought up for discussion. So I open up the public comment. Does anyone have a public comment that they want to make that's not on this agenda? I see none, so we'll close the public comment section of that portion of the program. And under the consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any commissioner may remove any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss and or change the recommended course of action. And the commission can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. So I wait for a motion to accept the consent agenda. There's only one item in the consent agenda, not as the minutes.
I make a motion to accept the consent agenda.
I second that.
Call, please.
Commissioner Barcelos?
Yes.
Commissioner Custodio?
Yes.
Commissioner Bissett?
Yes.
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Chair Perez?
Yes. We have two items here for the public hearing. The first one we're going to consider is consideration of conditional use permit application number 2018-3 through resolution 2018-6. Staff recommends that the Planning Commission take the following action. A, approve the environmental assessment number 2018-5, determining that the conditional use permit application number 2016-3 is exempt from CEQA and pursuant to section 15274 of the CEQA guidelines. B, approve the expansion of an existing small family daycare home up to 8 children to a large family daycare home up to 14 children located at 630 North Cady Avenue. At this point, I'll turn it over to staff.
Thank you, Chair. Members of the Planning Commission, Ellen Moore, Associate Planner with the Community Development Department. The proposed conditional use permit project location is 630 North Cady Avenue. It's a single family home in a predominantly single family neighborhood fronting onto a local residential street. To get your bearings, on the far right of this picture is Button Willow Avenue going north-south. And then the northernmost street that goes all the way to the other end of the picture is Myrtle Avenue. And then the one below that is North Avenue. So that gives you a little bit of an idea. And then if you go farther up north on Button Willow, that's where Bear Club is and Save Mart and that sort of thing. So that's kind of where this is. As mentioned, the conditional use permit is proposing to expand to a large family daycare home, which can provide care for up to 14 children. Right now, the applicant does have an existing small family daycare home license with the California Department of Social Services. That license has been active since October 25th of 2016. So it's been about a year and a half that they've operated the small family daycare license. And one of the requirements of the state to have a large family daycare home is to have an active small family daycare home license for more than a year to provide that extra experience. According to the applicant's operational statement, the operational hours are 5 days a week from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. This is a floor plan of the home, and the circles that are mostly on the left-hand side of the picture and on the northern side of the home, those are where kids are allowed to be. That's where the care takes place, which is living room, kitchen, dining room, and then the daycare area, which is on the northern portion of the property. And then the garage, all the other bedrooms, one of the bathrooms, that's off limits. There is one bathroom available to the children. And the drop-off and pick-up point is primarily the driveway of the home. So the times of pickup and drop off are staggered, so there aren't a lot of cars showing up all at once. So, you know, every couple minutes a car or two comes in to park in the driveway, drop the children off, and then pick them up later. If needed, there is room for street parking as well, so that nobody's crossing the street, so it's all very close to the house. And the picture on the right shows the layout of the house and the driveway and the backyard and fencing and everything. So, as mentioned, a large family daycare home is subject to the California Department of Social Services licensing requirements. The Planning Commission packet did provide some handouts that the state has on their website that includes the list of requirements for a daycare home, just to show that if the conditional use permit is approved, there's a lot more review from the state as well. So if you're thinking, you know, if you're asking what other things are required to make sure that everybody's safe and all that kind of stuff, the State Department will do that. The city is mostly concerned with the concentration of daycare homes. They can't be within 600 feet of each other, the large family daycare homes. And then the fire department does a walkthrough inspection to make sure that there's that the house is safe. There's fire extinguishers, smoke detectors, that sort of thing. So our battalion chief, Justin Watson, did do two or three inspections, if I remember correctly. He has done at least one. And then there was an email that I handed out that showed that the inspection did pass. So the fire department has signed off on the house that it's safe. With that, staff's recommendation is to approve the environmental assessment and to approve the expansion of an existing small family daycare to a large family daycare at this location. The applicant is here this evening and is able to answer any questions that you may have, but that concludes staff's report. Thank you.
Commissioners, questions, concerns?
The only thing I can think of is currently you've had no problems with traffic flowing through your area, right?
No.
It's only what I can think of.
I'm sure.
Any other questions?
No, I'm good. Okay. The demand has been there to increase it?
Yes, because most of the times, like especially in the summertime, when the kids go on vacation, they want to bring like the brothers, and we don't have rooms there. We need to take them back somewhere else. That's one of the reasons.
Go ahead.
We're not planning on actually having like 14 kids. We just want to like expand it in case other kids want to come in and we take care of them like over the summer and they can move after school. You know?
This is the first time you've sought to expand?
Yes.
Okay. All right, thank you.
I have a couple of questions. You mentioned you didn't have enough room. You didn't mean you didn't have enough room to accommodate up to 14 children. Is that correct?
No, sir. We actually.
Would you mind standing up?
Yeah, one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Please.
Should have said that earlier.
Yeah. My name is Ignacio Perez. We actually didn't have the license to accommodate more kids.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
That was the reason.
That's what you meant. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the reason we want to expand it.
Right. Okay. And I just have one more question also. I noticed that there's a fire pit outside. Is that active or do you have that covered?
Oh, we can, we use it like on the winter time, but if it's an issue, we can have it covered and stuff, you know, maybe make it as a planter or something.
We just have a cover over it, I would imagine, or something like that, but I'd be aware of that.
Okay.
Okay. Any other further questions? And since this is a public hearing, I will open it up for the public to make any comments. Or do you have one more?
No, I'm saying thank you.
Oh, thank you.
So we're open for public comment if anybody has a public comment they'd like to wish. And I assume that we sent out the appropriate notification to the
We did, neighbors. Correct. Yeah, within 350 feet. And I sent those 10 days before today. I think a little bit more than 10 days, yes. Yeah, and didn't receive any comment before the prior to this meeting.
Okay, super. I see no one coming before, so we'll close that portion of the public hearing, and I will entertain a motion. excuse me, one second. Can we wrap that up under 2018-6?
Correct. Yep.
Resolution?
Correct.
Okay. Do I need to read that over again, commissioners?
I'm good.
Okay. So I would like a motion on resolution 2018-6. Your wishes, please.
A motion to approve.
I'll second.
Roll.
Commissioner Bissett?
Yes.
Commissioner Barcellas?
Yes.
Commissioner Custodio?
Yes.
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Chair Perez?
Yes. Okay, because of regulations, protocol.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good
thank
luck to you.
Good luck.
Thank
good
you.
Luck to
thank you.
You
for coming.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Because of regulations and protocol, are there any ordinances to recusing, I will have to recuse myself on the next item, and I would ask Vice Chair Commissioner Hudson to take over at this time, and I will step out.
Oh, yeah, you can get out here. Oh, I'm going to be real quick. Sorry about that.
We will wait.
And just for the record, Chairman Perez is recusing himself only because he owns property within 500 feet of where the next property is located that we'll be discussing. So that's only to avoid any even potential of there seeming like there could be a conflict of interest.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. All right, ready to proceed.
Go right ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Vice Chair. So this application is variance application number 2018-1. So this is one of the first variances that we have looked at in a while, for some of you and for me included, because variance applications, they have a lot of nuances to them just because of their nature. They're taken on case-by-case basis and that sort of thing. And there's certain findings that you have to look at when you're looking at variances, because basically what variances are, they're requests to deviate from property development standards such as setbacks, height, lot coverage, those sorts of things. And the reason that those are granted is because there are special circumstances applicable to the property involved, such that strict or literal interpretation and enforcement of the specified regulation would deprive the applicant of privileges enjoyed by the owners of other properties classified in the same zoning district. That being said, the granting of the variance should not constitute and cannot constitute a grant of special privilege inconsistent with the limitations on other properties classified in the vicinity and in the same zoning district. So essentially what variances do is they try to make things fair, because there could be a property that's disadvantaged or there's a hardship in some way, such as the size of the lot is really weird, so it's hard to apply the same setbacks to it as another property that's just a rectangle that's the same zone district. So there's a lot of different examples of where these come into play. So it's better to have realistic examples here, which is this variance application. The location is 165 North Kingswood Parkway, and the general plan designation is suburban residential, and the zoning is residential estate. So this is one of the lots on the west side of Kingswood Parkway, one of the remaining ones. So these are larger lots. The average lot size, I think, is about 33,000 square feet for these. And this is the only portion of town that has this zone district. There's a single family home proposed on this lot. As you can see in the surroundings, it's what you would expect to see in that zone district. But with what's special about this property is that there is an easement running through this property and the neighboring properties. So going into the history of this, there was a sewer line that was installed by the city. It's a city line around 1967. And at that time, there was an easement placed for the sewer line to whoever the property owner was at that time, assuming that it was one property owner, because the land actually wasn't even subdivided at that time. So there was a grant deed that was done in 1967. So fast forward to 1991, which when this subdivision area started to be subdivided for development of homes, the lots were actually created within the easement. So what that means is that there's you can't build on easements, because if the city needs to go in and repair those, we can't take down a building. You know, if it's an emergency repair, we don't have time to do that. The person that owns the building won't be very happy. So it's required by law that you can't build anything, any structures. You can pave it, you can landscape the easement area, because you can just dig up dirt. That's easy to do. And in the case of an emergency repair. So something to think about here is that this is just this is our sewer plat map that shows the location of public sewer lines throughout the city. So this is actually just an estimate of where the line is. So the easement is 30 feet wide. And so what you can do is that line is assumed to be the center line of that easement. So you're actually going 15 feet on either side of that line. So as you can see with the curvature of Kingswood Parkway, that line juts significantly into this property specifically. You do see the neighbors have the line within their front yard area, but in some instances it doesn't even hit the 50-foot yard setback. In this instance, it actually does, and it increases the setback from 50 feet to 62.5 feet. So this is a depiction of the site plan that was submitted by the applicant for their proposed
home, and that red area right there is the buildable area that is lost as a result of this easement being on the property. So that would be considered a hardship. According to staff, that's a hardship that could potentially be granted a variance because the neighbor next to them or the neighbors around them, the people that don't have the sewer easement at all within there, that is just it happened to be in the street in that area, they have the same zoning, but they have more buildable area. The neighbors have they have a little bit less buildable area, but this is the lot that is affected the most by this easement. So in order to make up that buildable area, the variance application is proposing to encroach into the side and rear yard setbacks. For the side yards, the minimum lot, the proposed minimum setback would be 15 feet. It's originally 25 feet. And then for the rear yard setback, it is going from 20 feet to 7 feet. That's the request under this application. So two main things here. One is with a variance, a site plan is approved. So if it set by saying that the setback is decreasing, that is only in these areas that is shown on the site plan. So by granting the variance, you're not granting it to be 15 feet all along that side yard. It's not the whole side yard. It's just what is shown to be encroaching on the site plan, if that makes sense. So if there was another building that wanted to build an accessory structure, an additional one, it cannot be in the side or rear yard setbacks because the variance is only granting what you see in front of you. The second thing to think about for this one is in the corner, there's kind of an either or situation. The applicant hasn't decided where that garage is going to be, so they can only choose one configuration. They can't get a variance for both, you know, so it can't be that large structure. They're either going to have a more portrait shape or a landscape shape of the garage, if that makes sense. So it's an either or because that's what's indicated on the site plan. They won't be able to have both. So with this variance application, we're trying to balance the by helping them with the hardship while not providing that special privilege. So it's a tricky balance to do, but staff believes that a variance can be granted in this instance by encroaching into the setbacks because it helps even out the amount of buildable area that this person has compared to their neighbors.
So it evens it out, and they are the most burdened.
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're the most burdened as a result of the easement location.
And this is one of only two buildable lots left on Kingswood Parkway, correct?
That's correct,
yeah. So this would be a very unique situation for the commission to have to see here.
That was where I was going to go mm-hmm. next. Does this set the standard for the next request?
I would have to take a look, but I believe that the other empty lot is several down, and I do not think that it has an easement anywhere.
I don't think it does either. I don't think I have it on. Actually, I think it's two lots down, if I remember
that's
correctly.
Yeah, that's what
that's
I'm
the vacant
as well.
One. Yeah, so I think, but where Flora is north, the easement is in people's property. I think it kind of aligns itself back into the street south of that.
There is a public access mm-hmm. area along that second lot, not this one, but the other empty lot there. Mm-hmm. But that would not. Should not be able to come back to the commission as something that would be a hardship because that is actually separated out. It's not viewed as an easement that would simply impact anything outside of what would already be their required
it's
setback area.
It's already defined, okay.
Correct. Mm-hmm. All right. It wouldn't impact their buildable area.
Now the movement, you say it's 25 to 15 and 20 down to 7.
Mm-hmm.
That equates to about how many square feet, you know? Just, okay, that's okay.
Yeah, off the top of my head, I do not.
I'm just throwing that up against the 30,000 square feet.
Mm, okay. Right.
And again, only applies to the area indicated on their site plan, so that wouldn't say they're taking the entirety of the 25-foot and moving into 15, only encroaching that area that's indicated on the site plan beyond that 25.
Right. Yeah, and that's why there was the request, you know, any future development, put it on the site plan, because it's unlikely that we would recommend another variance if besides what is already here, because then once if the variance is granted, then the hardship kind of goes away. So there was that planning was taken into account as well. And then just to be clear, there are three outcomes for this, and kind of closing my presentation. The main thing is, I just want to put on the record that relocating this sewer easement would be very infeasible, and you know, there's a lot of different factors. We'd have to dig up everybody's yards to put it in the street, have to figure out gravity flows and all that kind of stuff. So that's not, staff doesn't believe that is a viable option. If the variance were to be denied, the applicant can still build on the property. They just have to meet the setbacks that are called out, which is the 50-foot front or 62.5-foot setback in this instance, and then the 25-foot side yards and 20-foot rear yards. Sure. The other option would be staff's recommendation, which is to approve the environmental assessment associated with this application and to approve the variance application itself, which is requesting authorization to encroach into the side and rear yard setbacks as depicted on the site plan in your staff report. That concludes staff's report. We do have a representative of the applicant here. If you have any specific questions for him, it's his father-in-law who is here this evening. The applicant is in Arizona. They live there, and they're looking to move to Reedley and build this house. So if you have any questions.
You're supposed to leave the heat when you...
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Good. But yeah, any questions you have, commissioners? Thank you.
And so all notices have been again
correct.
Same, and you haven't had any feedback or.
Mm-mm, I did not get any feedback. Yeah, and since these were on the same day, the notices were sent out for the previous item as well as these, and yeah, we haven't received any comments or anything.
Ellen, you said that it is that by doing this, we are approving the CEQA report, or are we just saying it's exempt from CEQA because it says you're exempt?
I see what you mean. Yeah, technically that is kind of confusing, but the environmental assessment is showing that it's exempt, so maybe the better word for that would be that the Planning Commission finds that
they concur with. Okay,
correct. Right. Yeah, thank you. I
so
apologize
we're not creating
for that.
A new There's not a new review.
Okay.
The environmental assessment is basically explaining why it's exempt. We like to have that documented so that it shows that we looked at it, that staff looked at it and made a determination, and that the Planning Commission concurs with that determination.
Mm-hmm. Ellen, can you bring up your map again? I think it's the first, that one there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming that's north, the house to the top?
Yes, it
okay.
is.
Mm-hmm. So the encroachment would be on the north side of the subject property,
mm-hmm.
which would, I guess, be up against the neighbor's driveway. And was that a garage or something?
Yeah.
We're not going to have two houses right next to each other. I mean, you do have a little bit of a buffer, I guess.
That's correct, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's still the setback of the north house to take into account as well, but the living space,
right.
There's no living space adjacent to living space to the north.
Right.
Yeah, just for context, too, when we're talking standard single-family subdivision, 6,000, you know, traditional 7,000 square foot lot, typically on your side yards, you're talking about a 5-yard or a 5-foot setback.
Right.
So we would actually be talking 25 feet or 8 for the property to the north. And then even with a variance, if the Planning Commission were to grant it, 15 feet there. So really still a good amount of separation
right.
between the two.
Okay. So there's a 25. foot setback on both those properties?
There's a 25-foot setback for the property on the north and on the south, because neither one of them have a variance associated with that, because the public infrastructure easement did not impact their buildable area for either one of them.
Setbacks combined are bigger than
right. The length of some lots.
Yeah. Just to give scale to that, because when you're talking about a variance where you already have a pretty significant setback, it ends up by comparison really not being as large or as small, I guess you could say, if you're looking at it the other way.
Is that a green belt to the left?
It is, yeah. That zoned as resource conservation and open space. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then after that's the river.
The river.
Yeah.
Commissioners, do you have any further thoughts, questions? No? How should we proceed, Ms. Moore?
So before you, we have a resolution 2018-7 that is approving both the variance application itself and then concurring with the environmental assessment 2018-6. They are under one resolution, so if the commission so wishes, you can make it can be one motion and second.
Before we moved on to that, this is a public hearing item, so we need to open it for the public hearing.
Correct.
And then Commissioner Hudson, because we actually didn't read it when we first got started, after you close the public hearing and we'll entertain a motion, if you could read the items
the recommendation.
So that it's in the record, that'd be great.
You've heard comments from Ms. Moore. Do we have any public comment at this time that would like to come forward and speak to this issue? This is your time.
Mr. Tates.
You don't want to be recognized.
You don't want to.
I'm here to answer questions if you have questions. But
I'm sorry, your name?
Bob Tates.
Bob Tates, okay.
How soon do they plan to build?
We're going to.
Mr. Tate, if you wouldn't mind coming up to the podium, just so we can make sure
we
get
more than three
recorded.
Words, you have to come up to the podium.
Okay.
If you say hi and goodbye, you're okay.
They're planning on building as soon as possible. They do not have a general contractor yet. We were waiting for this phase first to make sure that the layout of the property would work with the home. If it didn't work, we might have had to gone to a two-story to get what we needed as far as a backyard. So if this works out, then we're going to submit the plans to some general contractors and hopefully get going on it right away. They'd love to be in the house however long it would take, 12 months, perhaps. That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. And can you state your name, please?
Robert Taves, T-O-E-W-S.
Mr. Taves, and this plan here, this was the best you can do, and it was acceptable for the family when you guys came along with this plan here, knowing about the easement, knowing about the setbacks. And
that is a great question. It actually was mirror image when we originally had it, and we had it moved up to where we thought we were going to be able to put it.
I see.
But the garage, can we go? The backyard garage that they have proposed up there on the left, by losing that, there's no way we could have put it back there on the
right.
with the house flip-flopped. Mm-hmm. And so we did the mirror image, and we're satisfied with it. It's not exactly what they wanted, but it's going to work. And then we actually found that by putting the garage, whether we use the two-car garage or the RV garage, by putting it back there, it gets it further from the street. It keeps it away from the other two properties better because it is further back in that corner. So it actually is working out better for us, I think, in the long run. And you had a question, Vice Chair, about the square footage. I don't know the square footage, but it's considerably more that we're losing than what we're gaining.
It looked like it.
When you look at that, all that red spot there,
mm-hmm.
we're only gaining that basically what you can see of the house that's extending beyond
mm-hmm.
that's all we're gaining is that.
Mm-hmm.
But with five kids, we need as much backyard space as we can get.
Okay.
Well, I'd just like to say thank you for being flexible on.
Yes, sir. You're welcome.
It is unusual. Yeah.
Thank you for your consideration. We appreciate it. When we originally, when they had the who does the title company, didn't show that easement, and so when we found out about it, we came into the office and we were talking to Ellen's crew, and we go, "What's this? And what does that do to us?" And we go, "Oh man, yeah. that's really cutting into our space."
Sure.
But Ellen and her crew have helped us design and come up with a better plan for ourselves. So I think it's going to be acceptable. I think we'll be good.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Mr. Taves?
No.
Thank you, Mr. Taves.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for your consideration. Okay. Appreciate it.
If there are no further public comments, we'll close the public comments portion on this recommendation, on this resolution. Okay, can we proceed ahead and I'll read off the...
That'd be great.
The staff is recommending that through resolution 2018-7, the Planning Commission take the following actions. A, approve the environmental assessment number 2018-6, determining that variance application number 2018-1 is exempt from CEQA pursuant to sections 15303 and 15332 of the CEQA guidelines. B, approve the variance application number 2018-1, authorizing the encroachment of a single family residence into the side and rear yard setbacks of an estate size lot located at 165 North Kingswood Parkway, on the west side of North Kingswood Parkway, south of the terminus of Region River Glen Avenue. Any questions about what I just read?
No.
We're thoroughly versed in this?
Yes.
Can we proceed to a...
Yes, sir.
All right. I would entertain a motion to approve resolution number 2018-7.
I'll give a motion.
To approve. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have a second. Ms. Moore?
Commissioner Custodio?
Yes.
Commissioner Bissett?
Yes.
Commissioner Barcelos?
Yes.
Vice Chair Hudson?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
we're getting your family back, too.
Yeah. Interesting project.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. I could tell by Ellen's description of it, she gave it a lot of thought.
Yeah.
She did. Thank you, Ellen.
Enjoy.
Thank you.
You want to take a little recess and call the chair?
Let's take a vote on that.
Yeah, you want to take a vote? Can we proceed without him? We can proceed without him. He can just come back at the end.
No, let's take a brief recess, please.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. All right. We're back to you, Mr. Perez.
All right. Okay. Item four.
All right. I understand you guys did a good job.
Yeah, we tried to represent you well.
Well, thank you. You're in your community. Okay, are we ready for the director's report? Yep. Ellen, are you going to handle that, or is Rob?
I'll take that this time.
All right.
Ellen does all the real hard work. That's how that goes.
The heavy lifting.
As you can hear, applicants that consistently come through here,
Ellen,
sing her praises. Ellen. There's a reason Ellen. Why wow. she is that
they
good.
All like her.
Yes. Yeah, I just wanted to follow up with a couple items. At the last meeting, we had a question from Chairman Perez about some of the other homes in the community that were in disrepair, not very attractive. We actually have our code enforcement right now is actively working on multiple properties to address those items. We discussed the one, of course, at the corner of Frankwood and Olson. Council at their last meeting gave the final approval to move forward with demolition activities to fund the demolition activities associated with that home. It is a very unique case because there's no owner of record. The home was completely paid off, and the only owner of record associated with it in any way had passed away. And then it goes into that limbo of there's no one out there that wants anything to do with it or that has any right of ownership to it. That's the reason why council felt that it was appropriate to take that action. Otherwise, it was going to be something that was likely going to continually cause problems for the community. all of the other properties in town right now that, that have been identified that have various items of disrepair associated with them, they do have owner of record that is alive, and code enforcement is working with them. That can be a very long and arduous process that you have to go through with people to get them to address some of their property maintenance issues at times. But I wanted to make sure that you guys knew that we are following up with that, and that we're consistently engaged in the discussions that they have there, or at least in the loop on the discussions that they're having, even though it's led by the fire department and in code enforcement.
So the fire department does lead the, and they then do. A citizen can recommend to the fire department
yes.
a property. Yep. Or they just find it on their own?
It's a combination of both. So mm-hmm. if a concern or complaint comes in, then that's something that they will address. If in the process of their regular daily duties they come across an item, then they will also instigate following up on that as well.
And it falls under the umbrella of what? What would you call it?
Code enforcement. Yeah. So our code enforcement officer actually works under the fire department, but code enforcement really deals with making sure that zoning regulations are being met and adhered to. So we collaborate with code enforcement on a very, very regular basis. So yeah, we had that one. I wanted to also let you know that the United Health Centers, the annexation, their site plan review, and the pre-zoning will be going to City Council this next Tuesday on the 12th. The hope there would be that the council will take the Planning Commission's recommendation and approve those items there, and then we will continue to work with UHC and hope to get sticks in the ground as soon as possible and get that full-service medical clinic up and running for the community. And then we've had a couple questions from planning commissioners about retention of records, what is required, what is not required. So there is not any formal item as far as a policy that we have that deals with that, but the standard rule is that you guys really don't need to worry about retaining any of your records, because all the records that we provide to you are of a public nature, and it's staff's responsibility to make sure that those items are being maintained and recorded appropriately. And we work very, very hard to do that between Ellen, the city clerk, and having things available online, always open and available for public records requests. So in all reality, unless you want some late night reading, any of the items that you are given, that they're all public record, you can actually, at the end of the meeting, hand them right back over to us, and we'd be happy to file the things away that need to be filed, or recycle the items that don't need to be. Yeah, but that's completely up
so
to you.
So our packets, we don't have to hold on
to. You do not have to hold on to them if you don't want to, because they're public record, they're always available. Okay. We have all of that available online. And if you guys or any member of the public ever had questions about any of those items, we're happy to provide them, because it is all public record.
Yeah, because I was holding them for 1 year. Now I don't have to.
Yeah, you don't have, and again, it's not uncommon. Many planning commissioners right. during their terms will actually hang on to the items. And those are the commissioners that may be interested in looking back and how did that process go. They want to understand the process a little bit better. What were some of the questions that I asked here? So that when a similar item comes up, they can ask the same type of questions or learn from those things. But you're not required to do anything of that nature, because it's all public record. So if you don't want to have those items, filling up your personal libraries, you're not required to in any way.
Okay. Thank you.
Hmm? That's it, unless you have any questions.
Any questions, Commissioner?
No.
Future agenda items. Where do we stand with our meetings?
So the deadline for June 21st has passed. I haven't received any applications that would be ready to go then, so I don't think we'll have one. We will definitely, we're 90%. Well, I'd say 99% certain we're not having a meeting on July 5th. It's a holiday week. And I don't have anything for July 19th either. I'm thinking this kind of happens in the summer. Mm-hmm. We might, there's kind of a lull, and then we'll probably pick up August and September, I would guess. We'll eventually have a text amendment, be looking at industrial zoning, which is fun. That very often. Potentially another subdivision map by towards the end of the year. So we'll but for now, we don't have any small items.
Okay. Good, that's good. Good to know in advance, especially for me. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Schedule your vacations.
No, I don't, unfortunately, I just my job now is a lot of traveling.
Yeah, usually the time it takes, we try to process items between 30 to 45 days. So with the day one is when they submit a complete application, which is not always when they submit application, but it's 30 to 45 days from that. So 30 days ago, I haven't gotten anything. So it's very unlikely because, you know, routing and then public noticing, that time has to, we have to take that time. We can't really rush things for public hearings. So yeah, since I didn't get anything about a month ago, I think we're
anything else? Any questions, any concerns we want to bring up?
Everybody have a nice vacation.
Yes, yeah. Thank you very much. If not, this meeting is now adjourned.
Thank you very much. Thank you.